Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Yet another beautiful day in the area. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Bills and Patriots. Sunday night. It should be great. Sunday night as well. All weekend. With us now on the Wester Hotline, noted Yankees fan, Sal Capaccio, Bulldog in here with his Red Sox hat. I already mentioned this to Bulldog, Sal. Like
3 days in a row, Sal, I'm wearing this hat.
He might be, I think it's almost a sure thing, like more of a casual fan these days than you are. But like if you don't feel that rivalry right now, you're just,
oh my God,
it's over. I mean, you you need to be feeling it right now, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a casual fan. I don't think consider myself. I'm pretty, like, I was literally yelling at my television for Jazz Chisholm to score last night. Like, it was pretty intense in my house, to be honest with you. It's tough these days when you get older to invest your time and energy as much into those things, especially when they're 6 hours away from you, right? I totally get that. Mm-hmm. But that was intense last night. I mean, every pitch hanging on it, and then tonight will be in. I find it fascinating that it's two rookie pitchers making their MLB postseason debut in a situation like this.
At least your guy, I've watched your guy pitch three or four times this year. I honestly, before last night, had never heard of Connelly Early. I missed his arrival. There was a guy that got in last night that pitched the last inning for Boston. I'd seen him. I was excited about him. I'm having trouble remembering his name right now, but he's like a big mustache, hunk of meat guy that just looks like out of a movie. This guy I have no idea about, but, I mean, go get him, kid.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I didn't really know much about him either. Hadn't really paid attention to him and his career and him coming up, like you said, when that was. I do remember a while ago there was a talk about a Red Sox rookie. Maybe it was him. I thought it was somebody else, but either way, I know, obviously, Schlittler for the Yankees. Got to be careful when you say it.
Good, very, very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been very good so far in his young career, right? But these are, who knows, you get in a situation like this. Anything can happen. It's a one-game situation. And I actually think that, you know, you could – I'm wondering if both managers will kind of be really aggressive to just, you know, you got to make a change early if it starts to get away. I think you have to do that. But both teams have used their bullpen a little bit here, so you know that's going to be interesting too.
Yeah, the Red Sox really got after it last night. I mean, they went to the pen in the third, but nobody really went long except for the guy that got touched up at the end, Whitlock, I think. So I don't know if he'll be available tonight, but I would guess maybe everybody else is fine. But you know, who knows?
What about Crochet?
Peyton Tolley is the guy you're thinking of, by the way. He pitched last night, and he was the rookie. Yeah. Showed up and just looked great right out of the box, but that fire went out and he's not getting the call tonight. What about Crochet? That's right. I wonder if they could turn to him in the in the fifth or something.
Well, we're watching Detroit Cleveland and we have the sound down. I don't know if they're talking about this or what was said before the game, but I'm wondering about Skubal. Detroit is up 2-1. It's the seventh. They've got two on. Maybe they pad the lead, but wouldn't you think this, you have to win. Like, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. 2 days later. I mean, it's 2 days later. Right? Think about it. I'm thinking about him that too. But I mean, but man,
Crochet threw 117 pitches.
Crochet threw a lot of pitches, though, man. Yeah.
But I think isn't 2 days later when they throw on the side? So maybe
I don't know. It's a good question. I would say this though for the bullpen point. I think the Red Sox are better late inning than the bullpen than the Yankees because both Cruz and Bednar have pitched both games so far. So that could really fall in their favor. So we'll see about that.
Well, I'm over. I guess I don't have the Blue Jays on today. I've got the Sabres on today, but my Blue Jays, my bandwagon asterisk.
Well, Sal, they had. I don't know how you are at waiting through sports events that are going to go past 11 o'clock. But I did not really need an 8 o'clock start time. I'm not surprised. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees. And you're going to put a game there. You know, maybe if the Dodgers had needed a game three, we'd have gotten an earlier start for this. But here we are. So, I was loving the 6 o'clock starts these last two nights.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was the case. It was if the Reds had won this, the Yankees, everything would have been the same today as they were the first 3 days.
Like, sorry,
the first 2 days. So yeah, I know. So I'm thinking, all right, go Reds, because it was really nice being at 9 o'clock at night and watching the game. And late in the game, you're like, wait, it's over. It's 9 o'clock. That's not bad.
It is so good.
Right.
I had it on, and it might have been the seventh inning, and I looked at the clock, and it was 8:18. I'm like, oh, this is the best. It's 8:18. Right. It's dark out, but it's 8:18.
I know.
Love Central Time. It's like life in the Central Time Zone here for a couple of days there.
Yeah.
All right, Sal. So Bills wise, let's talk injuries first. What, if anything, is new today?
A couple things new today. Dorian Strong, rookie cornerback, did not practice today due to a neck injury, and not sure when that happened. He was out at practice yesterday. He was not on the injury report. Shows up as a DNP today. So again, that's a pretty significant thing to be aware of. It's a neck injury, and that's always something you want to be really careful of. So we'll see where it goes. It could be a sore neck, right? And maybe he's back tomorrow. Who knows? But we'll get an injury report from Sean McDermott early tomorrow on the Extra Point Show when I'm on. We'll find that out about that. And same thing with TJ Sanders, but he was limited. So did something happen today at practice where he was limited, or is it a situation where, it's just something going on where they're dealing with it and they wanted to, like AJ Epenesa last week, right? We're like, okay, what happened? It doesn't have to mean something happened at practice. It could literally be like he was sore, showed up and said, and they said, let's just take a little off you today, right? So we'll find out more tomorrow. So that's not good news. Neither is Dorian Williams not practicing today again for a second straight day. So I think he's trending towards, being out of this game on Sunday night. That being said, good news that Spencer Brown, Jackson Hawes, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, all limited for a second straight day. And we'll see if any of them are actually playing or all of them. But I would sense that if not all four, at least maybe three of the four would be playing on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's so hard. How good are you at watching guys? This came up, I know you brought it up last week one day when Hairston made his return and was doing the exercises in the brace. And some people on Twitter were like, oh my God, he looks like he's so broken still. And I'm watching Ed Oliver, I'm watching Matt Milano, and I don't know, I can't really discern any hesitation or any favoring or anything. Like, are you... How decent do you think you are at ascertaining whether a guy is trusting the injured part of his body?
I don't think I'm very good at it because everybody's body is different. And even if I think I'm seeing something, I try never to speculate, to be honest with you. I just think you just don't want to go down that road. Why do that? You'll turn yourself in knots. You don't know. Everybody's different. You don't know what they're necessarily always dealing with. You could say ankle, you could say knee, and you don't know, is it inside, is it outside, what part of it is it on? They're not giving you all that information. So to be quite honest, I know everybody wants the information. Like, you put the stuff out there. I show video of Ed Oliver. I show a video of Matt Milano. Everybody's dissecting it. Do you think he'll play on Sunday night? Right. Well, how the heck do I know, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not in the guy's body. I can't tell you what he's feeling like. I mean, sometimes you see a guy and he's out there. The only time I would tell you is if they're in a boot, they're not practicing and all that kind of stuff. But right. And when they're out there working, I don't think I'm good at discerning it because I just know – as an athlete and the human body, the way it goes, but also because I'll be honest with you, I just think it's reckless to be quite honest with you, right? It's not my place to kind of judge that. It's really more of let's wait on what they tell us and what the team tells us.
Well, we know that Max Hairston isn't ready. There's no guessing Correct. On that one. I don't know that we brought this up yesterday, maybe should have, but the news that all three guys that are on the IR designated to return list are not ready to return, even to practice. Mm-hmm. And most notably, Hairston here. Sal, that's a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you were hoping that he would be ready to come back right now, then I agree with that. I don't know when the injury happened, and it's a sprained, you know, knee, sprained LCL, and you know that it looked pretty bad when it happened. I don't know what the anticipation was or the expectation was. I guess the hopeful optimism, sure, though, would be, Mike, that you start to see him after 4 weeks on the field. But let's remember, they have only 21 days to put him on the active roster once he does start practicing. So I think you want to be careful with how you do that. And, you know, you want to make sure, really sure, that if you're going to start practicing him, he's ready to practice. Because if he starts practicing when he's not – if he starts practicing just because you think you have a ramp up in 3 weeks and he's not actually quite ready, he could re-injure it, and then you're back at square one, and then you lose him for the year. So I think this comes down to – really what your expectation was. And let's remember, they do have a bye week.
I was just going to say, I wonder if the bye plays into their thinking at all, that's on the horizon. Like, let's just get there. Everybody gets in a little extra time to make sure they're good. We avoid what you just described, and then and everybody's back.
Those days count in the 21 days with or without a game? Okay.
They do. 21 days. No matter if you have a game or not, it's 21 days. So I do think the bye week would count there, and they're not even really practicing for a bunch of that bye week, so how can you even watch the guy?
Right.
Right? Now, he can stay back in rehab. He can do that. But they're not practicing as a team, so at that point, you might be like, well, let's just wait so we can get full, more data as far as all that is concerned, and we can get them on the field. And that's the same thing with Hoyt and Ogunjobi. I mean, they're allowed to come back after week six. They can start practicing. That was something that I clarified, and we see now they couldn't start practicing after week four. Originally, I thought that was based on the suspension, but it is after week six. But they do have until week eight to play because the team doesn't have a game week seven. So that will help them a little bit as far as getting a little bit more ramp-up time.
Do you have a feeling on what they'll do with Bass? Like, is the job his when he's ready or not necessarily?
Yes, I think the job is his. The question I have is, when will he be ready? If he's ready in a week, I think that the job is his when they feel that he went through a good week of practice and he's ready to play. If that's a month from now, I think that's the case. I think Sean McDermott kind of indicated that himself last week, Mike, to be honest. Like, when you listen to him talk, he was a little bit more kind of firm on Bass coming back than he was on Hairston. Remember when he said if with Hairston last week and everybody was dissecting that? When and if he comes back, he sounded a little bit more like, yeah, Tyler will be back and it's his job when he comes back. But he didn't say when. And I keep thinking to myself, boy, you have Matt Prater's doing a nice job. He is getting a little bit older. Like, what happens when the weather turns and it gets a little windier? Like, are they going to want to make sure and they want to have the younger, stronger leg? Even though this guy's kicked a lot of 50-plus yard field goals in his life, he's not the same kicker these days, right? With the same power, probably. So what does that look like in late November? And to me, it might be, we'd really like to have Tyler Bass by then. Let's see if he gets healthy by then, because that's going to be his job.
Sal, recognizing that you only get to watch the the small portion of practice that you do along with everyone else in the media, I'm wondering, there's been so much talk about the Bills missing tackles. And, I listen to Brownie and Tasker usually on my way in. And, Steve makes the point all the time about just how different. I think Eric Wood touched on this too with us on Monday. Just even training camp, you're not live. There's no real opportunity to practice tackling. And so it can be sloppy, especially at the beginning of some of these seasons. If the Bills wanted to sort of get to work on that, how might they go about it? In advance of a game here, we got another scrambling quarterback. They got hurt by Rattler last week in the running game in general with New Orleans. Here comes a three-headed running back room with Gibson and Stevenson and Henderson, and of course the quarterback. If they want to work on tackling in a week before a game, what do they do?
It's a good question. And they do work on tackling in this regard, which is they attack bags. I have a video of Matt Milano today, actually, tackling a bag. And yesterday, the one yesterday, he's literally going to the ground. They call that the gator roll. So you hit, and you're like you're wrestling a gator. That's why they call it that, right? So you attack the bag, and as you hit the bag, you roll, as if you're fighting a gator. So it's called the gator roll tackle. Today it was really kind of, a lift, right? You're lifting up and you're grabbing that guy. You're going right through him and you're lifting him up off the ground. And that's what you saw today. And they can do that. They have these, they have drills like that. They have, you know, while you're not going live, you can go and, you know, go against, see a guy across from you and kind of do a form tackle, wrap up, like an up thud, we call it. You're just thudding. You're not really driving the guy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
So those are things you can do. I think the biggest thing has, though, what you have to diagnose what the problem is. Like, why are they missing tackles? Is it because they're right in position and they're arm tackling and it's like, oh, you're not putting your face mask where it's supposed to be, your head, your shoulder, all that? Is it that you're not taking a proper angle? I think that's something I've seen sometimes. Those are things you can work on too, taking the proper angles. I think the biggest thing that I've really seen that's hurt the Bills this year, guys, I think sometimes they just aren't under control when they get to where they're supposed to get to. And I see this, and I saw this with Joey Bosa last week on a play, for example. It's not just him, but it's a good example. Alvin Kamara has a ball in the backfield. Remember this. Kamara's going to the left. I mean, Joey Bosa has him. And because Bosa's going 100 miles an hour, because he's taught to do that, to go after the ball carrier, suddenly he just can't break down. He can't make the tackle. And in suddenly Kamara, because he's going also 100 miles an hour, he can get out of that. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Tre'Davious White blitzes off the edge, and he has Tua right there, right? All he has to do is get to Tua and take him down. But he's going so fast that while Tua spins, he has no way to corral him. And I know in football, more than anybody, that you got to teach to go super fast. But there is a point that comes where you have to break down and you have to be able to get under control when you go to tackle somebody. And even if you don't get him down, that hopefully can help the cavalry arrive and they can help bring him down. So to me, I think you just have to diagnose the problem. Is the problem a simple fundamental of tackling, which is we're not doing this correctly? Is the problem taking a proper angle? Is the problem breaking down a little bit? And I think that's where the Bills have to go, but it has been an issue so far.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Drake May, Patriots quarterback, likely to be the second of three second-year quarterbacks in a row that the Bills face here, with Spencer Rattler last week and Michael Penix a week from Monday night. What do you think of May, Sal? We talked about New England in the offseason a lot, and I made the point a few times. Everybody seems on board with him, which is a little bit much to what was to my ears for a guy that, you know, had a pretty okay rookie season. But, you know, I think maybe there's been enough so far this year that most people who would have been in that camp in the first place are impressed even more.
I like him a lot. He's a good athlete. I liked him coming out in college, thought that if he got to the right spot, if he got to the right people, that would really help him. You know, maybe not as much as first year, but he still had a nice rookie year. I thought he did some really nice things. He's got a good coach now. He's got a good organization around him with Mike Vrabel coming in there. So I think he's on a good development track. But other than that, I like his talent a lot. He's a good passer. I believe Chris Brown had the stat he shared with Sean yesterday in our media when he asked Sean a question. He said something like Drake May has the best third down efficiency of any quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't mean the Patriots are overall the best in third down. They are good, but third down efficiency of any quarterback. I think that says a lot. You know, he understands what to do with the ball in those situations, how to get first downs, where to find, you know, the right people. I do think it's interesting that overall they are just very, very tight end reliant and even running back reliant throwing the ball. he doesn't throw the ball downfield very much. Like, his average depth of target is pretty much near the bottom of most starters in the league. And if you look at their target share, you look at their receptions, it's Stephon Diggs, who had a really good game last week. He has 19 catches. Their next guys, ready? Hunter Henry, 15, tight end. Trayvon Henderson, running back, 13. Ramondre Stevenson, running back, 11. And then it's Keyshawn Boutt with a 10 as their next wide receiver. Then Austin Hooper is next after that with 7. And then it's Mac Hollins, 7 for 42, like, is your next receiver. So I'm not criticizing at all. I think that that's a fine way to do it because he's a young quarterback and he's finding these guys. But, man, Hunter Henry, he is relying on him a ton, his running backs, and that's okay. But I think that, you know, if I'm a Patriots fan, you might want to see a little bit more of that. But in the meantime, he's coming along fine. He's making the right decisions.
How about on defense here? Gonzalez being back is big, and Barmore healthy in the middle of that line. Like, he's a part of that group of DTs that showed up same time as Oliver, right? Quinnen Williams in New York, Christian Wilkins in Miami, and Barmore. I'm not sure if it's all the same class, but it was close enough. Right? I thought, like, we've all got this whole division is just full of these defensive tackles here. He had a rough go last year, but he's been, from what I've been reading, pretty disruptive for them.
Yeah, Milton Williams has been really good for them, and
he missed
in the
again
same
today.
Boat as, well, he didn't miss yesterday. He was limited yesterday.
Right, but he missed today.
And then he missed today, which is interesting to me, right? Which is, does that mean he had a setback with his ankle, or does that mean they just gave him a day off? Because that could be the case, right? So that's something really interesting to watch. Milton Williams, a defensive tackle. Yeah, they're very, very good against the run, by the way. This is going to be one of those, you know, okay, we do it really well, and you stop it really well. The Bills are very good running the football. We know that. They have the number one rushing yards per game team in the league. Number set, they're 163 yards by far. Their per play average is close to 5, 7th best in the league. On the other side, the Patriots are stopping the run, the second best in the league, 77 yards a game and only 3.3 yards a carry. That is a really low number. But now, part of this is Gonzalez being out. There's no doubt, but he came back last week. The Patriots have been beaten through the air. They are near the bottom in the league in most passing metrics right now. And good weather Sunday night, I wonder if this is a game where the Bills feel we're going to attack them through the air. Maybe that will help open up the running game with James Cook. The Bills already want to run the ball and think they can against anybody anyway, I'm sure, right? But maybe this is a game where you feel you can kind of, you know, do something through the air, and then the Patriots have to kind of back off a little bit on what their bread and butter is on defense.
Very good. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That is our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I thought about saying good luck tonight, but I'm with Boston emotionally.
Well, look at you.
Two teams I hate.
Yeah.
I usually will go for the road team.
All right. Yeah.
And the Red Sox are a little bit, I don't really want to even say it, a little bit more of an underdog.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
lately.
What is their,
but
you know,
they just, they choose to be.
Who are these guys is a question you could ask. I mean, there's not a household name. Well, Trevor Story and Bregman are names Bregman in the league. Everybody else, I've just gotten to know everyone else in that lineup barely just in the last few months. The right fielder, Eaton? Who are you? I don't. The guy that had the double on Tuesday night, Sogard? What? The days of, like, you know, Mookie Betts and David Ortiz and, you know, Pedroia, like, they don't have stars anymore. Really, Roman Anthony's the biggest star they've got now, and he's hurt. He's not, and they talked about him last night on the broadcast, and it doesn't sound like, even if they were to get to the World Series, he'd make it back. There's another guy down there in Florida rehabbing with him that's also a highly touted kid, but I can't remember his name. He might get back if they make it into, say, the championship series, I think.
Roman Anthony, Buffalo ties, I recently learned.
Right, you mentioned that to me the other day off the air, right?
Lots of relatives, I guess.
All right.
Eaton. I don't know. I don't have it. Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg is who comes to mind, but this is not the guy on the Red Sox.
No.
Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg.
What is that from?
Spinal Tap.
That's what I thought. I didn't want to.
He's like
be
a
wrong,
producer
thought,
or somebody.
Right, he's the,
at the party.
He's that. The yeah. He's the blonde haired older guy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Dennis Eaton Hogg. All right. Sorry. Sorry about that. All right. Time out. 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.